Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with your over-under game. Just head on over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Howdy ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode number 149. Oh, we're so ever so close to the big episode 150. This episode, who am I going to dedicate this one to? I'll just dedicate it to my favorite high school baseball team who just lost in the state championships, RIP. I'll send it out to them. Who am I sending these things out? I am Jeff Foxbrindov. I'm trying to read what a listener sent me as my new nickname. I think he's playing on the Fokridinov, except it's Foxbrindov. So my name is Jeff Foxbrindov is my nickname. Thank you, Double Nichols, for the nickname that I butchered. I don't think it's going to stick. I have a feeling it's not going to. Anyhow, you can call me Jeff Fox if you rather. Thank you for coming to the show. This is the big pay-per-view episode of the podcast. UFC 275 is going down this Saturday. Without further ado, let me bring in my co-host, the man known as the Gumby God, the one and only Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
I got a feeling there's a couple more Gumby God picks on this card too. I'm gonna shoot that out there right now. Wow. There are some props that I'll mention in here that I've got circled and that I think are pretty lethal.
Lethal. Wow. Killer, lethal props. All right.
Well, yeah, really, I had to mix it up. I couldn't give you the Joe Rogan killer. So,
yes, of course. Did you see we got some more people fired? I just saw before we went on.
They were pretty much everybody we mentioned, too. I did notice
a lot of them. Luis Smolka, I think we mentioned him a while ago. And Mikolaitis, we definitely mentioned last podcast. Or
Alex Da Silva, we had mentioned as being a possible one. Yeah, like. They were all people, but like, again, we weren't calling for them to be fired. We didn't say they ought to
be fired. You said you wanted them to.
We just said they most likely were going to be given that resume. You know, as long as they're not getting the Sam Elvey treatment, somebody with a record like that would get fired.
Very, very true. We weren't calling for it, but that's the way it goes around these parts. You win or you go home. So just like that baseball team I was talking about. All right. We've got my laptop is acting wonky and we got a lot of fights to break down. So I think we probably should jump right into it. Is there anything else newsworthy that happened that we should get into, you think?
I don't think more newsworthy than this card, which is legendary.
It's legendary even. Wow. Listen to this, the hype man here. All right. Before we get into it and see if Gumby God is pulling your chain here and being a PR guy or not, let me tell you about Wynn. Make sure you get down on the wins, bet $50, win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets, plus the ultimate football experience. Bet $500 plus on sports or casino before July 31st of this year. Get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts, view in your entire league. Now, that would be legendary. Multiple entries are allowed. Plus, you can party with DJ Diesel. Our friend Malcolm on the MLB podcast did not know DJ Diesel. I think he knew Shaquille O'Neal. Did you hear that? Did you hear that episode?
I didn't hear that.
No, he didn't know who DJ Diesel was. I wasn't sure. He said we don't have Shaqs in Britain. So I don't know if he knows. I don't know if Shaq translates across the pond, as they say. But my co-host knew who DJ Diesel was.
Is it Shaq universally famous? I think so. Am I wrong about that? Like, don't they know about him in Antarctica and stuff?
I think so. So here's what I know about him here. You can party with him. All users can bet $100 on NBA or casino. You're allowed to. They're allowing you to bet that. It says can bet. And be entered into a prize draw to attend a DJ Diesel, brackets, Shaquille O'Neal, performance at Encore Beach Club at night, as well as a meet and greet with DJ Diesel. Not with Shaq, apparently, but just with DJ Diesel. This summer, there's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Here's the important parts. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. That's WYNNbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. 1-800-522-4700. Now, let's move on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. SGPN guys do. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. What are you drinking, Dan? I need to know now.
Is it a sponsor drink?
Huh?
It's not. It's not a current sponsor drink. No.
No, we can't mention it then. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to write it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play the new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money with these picks Dan's going to give you right now after he drinks his unnamed drink.
So hang on. Let me pull up. I usually like to pull up tomorrow's baseball slate, and I didn't have it because I was going to do basketball, but, you know, they're in the middle of game three right now. Celtics are doing work right now. Over under on the amount of money the Rams plan on spending. How about that? Because they're doing ridiculous things. Cooper Kupp just got an $80 million deal. That's great.
Football, right?
Yeah, that is football.
NFL or CFL? We do have a CFL podcast on the network.
And a USFL podcast.
Yes,
so
true.
Like, so yeah, so don't hesitate on either of those. So I guess I'm gonna go Braves. They're as hot as can be. They've won six in a row. They're in the middle of beating the Athletics to make it 7 in a row. So next, they are heading to play the Pirates, which should make it just about as easy as it can be, because JT Brubaker, as I heard on the MMA Gambling Podcast, is a terrible pitcher for the Pirates. So I'm gonna take Austin Riley and Dansby Swanson hits, because both of those guys seem particularly hot lately. Riley just jacked a homer a second ago. So I'll take those two in the over on hits over JT Brubaker, who I'm trying to remember the word that I heard Munaf call him. He said something very terrible about him, but it was in like a kind of a polite way. It was pretty great.
There you go. I'm texting the man right now as you speak, Munaf Manji. Yes, he asked me a question. I think I had JT Brubaker in fantasy 1 year. I don't think it went well though. So
yeah, he's like 0-5 with like a 6 ERA or something.
Yeah, I didn't have him this year, but oof. Oof, as Dan would say. All right, so there are your picks. I didn't pay attention. They were Braves. Dansby Swanson and some other dude, right?
Austin Riley. He comes out.
Oh
to,
yeah. Okay.
You should like Austin Riley as a former wrestling guy, because he walks out to the Stone Cold Steve Austin because he's Austin Riley. Yeah, the glass shatters there.
I get it. Yeah, I used to be a pro wrestler. Dan's right. So
I said a mobile, pro wrestling guy.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay, you got two plays. All right. Here's what you need to do with those plays. Get on your mobile phone. Everyone has one of those, right? Join a listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. All right. How many minutes are we in without making a pick yet, Dan? We're trying to make these things more concise, and we're probably like, what, 10 minutes in already? We haven't even given anyone a winning pick yet.
I just gave them two winning picks. Thursday,
oh, it's true. Yes.
Thursday over on the hits in for Dansby Swanson and Austin Riley.
Yes, different sport. Correct. All right. We're jumping into UFC 275. Why are we jumping into things so quick today? Oh, you'll see in your feed, because you may just be getting a bonus episode. You just wait. All right, UFC 275, Chishera versus Prohashka. This is going down for the Singapore Indoor Stadium, right in the heart of one championship country in Kalang, Singapore. I think I heard someone say Philippines, which is totally incorrect. It's Singapore. What do we got here? We got only 12 fights, so which is nice. That's a good number for me. 15's pushing it. 12's all right. Start times. Do I trust looking up start times on my laptop? Do you have start times in front of you? I know it's 8 for the main card for the prelims on ESPN, 10 for the main card on pay-per-view. I think the prelims are 6:30. Does that sound right to you?
It's 6:30. Yeah, that's right.
6:30. Thank you. So the intern says 6:30. ESPN Plus. We're going to start with those as per usual. And a women's featherweight fight. Apparently, there's a featherweight division in the UFC and a women's featherweight division. Go figure. Let's see what stellar fighters are in. Oh, Ramona Pasquale. Yeah, I remember her. You know why I remember her? Because she looked so horrible in her first fight, Dan. You know how I don't usually remember people? I remember her. She's fighting Jocelyn Edwards, who I also remember because she's actually looked pretty good in her fights. Let's break her down. Pasquale. 6-3, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. She'd been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-1 in the UFC, 1-0 in Invicta, plus 140. All right, Edwards is La Pantera, because she's a big fan of Pantera, the thrash metal band. She's 10-4, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been submitted once, 1-2 in the UFC, won her debut, lost 2 straight. She's got multiple regional championships on her.
Manto.
Correct. She used to fight a bantamweight, because featherweight doesn't really exist. She's an inch taller than Pasquale, 4 inches of reach, 7 years younger, striking stats in her favor, very small sample size, minus 170. Pasquale looked really bad in her fight, right, Dan? I remember correctly, right?
She did, but she was fighting Josie Nunez and on short notice. So I think we can excuse that a little bit. The funny thing for me is in this fight, I went to go think about this fight, and I was like, man, featherweight, is Jocelyn Edwards going to be able to make that move up? Because she's not a huge bantamweight, right? And then I was like, then all of those numbers that you just said about her being bigger, you know, she's an inch taller. She's got a 4-inch reach advantage. Like, she's younger. Like, she's much better suited to be up a weight class than Ramona Pasquale. And she's like, it's probably just going to cut out like a large portion of her weight cut. She'll probably have better cardio. And look, like you mentioned, she won her debut. She looked great in her debut when she beat Yanan Wu. She like has like low key good wrestling and in decent range. The losses are to Jessica Rose Clark and Carol Rosa. And like, you know, not that they're like world beaters at bantamweight, but like what, Rosa's undefeated, I think, in the UFC, right? She's like 5-6-0 at this point. No, she lost to Sarah McMahon. I take that back. She did lose to Sarah McMahon, but she was undefeated prior to that. And Jessica Rose Clark has looked better at 35 now that she's up and like putting on muscle and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that Jocelyn Edwards just is a better bet to go deep into this fight. But I will say this, like a lot of women's fights, this is one you probably want to circle. Fight goes to the distance, or, you know, whatever fighter you're planning on picking, pick them going the distance, because, you know, like, first of all, Ramona Pasquale took an absolute savage beating in the last fight and didn't get knocked out. So, like, I don't see Jocelyn Edwards finishing her either.
Yeah, she was definitely one of those wobbly, what are those things called? Those toys.
The weebles, wobble, but they weebles,
yes,
fall down.
Exactly. Yes, one of those. Yeah, she took a whooping, which is why I remember her. All right, next fight, women's strawweight, Liang Na. Someone may have talked about this on TV this week, versus Silvana Gomez Juarez. All right, Liang Na is Dragon Girl, 19-5, 7 knockouts, 10 submissions. She's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 0-1 the UFC, lost via TKO to Ariane Carnelosi. Wild fight. You should rewatch it if you're into that. That was way back in April 2021, all the good old days of April of 2021. She's not fought since then. She was 0-1 in Bellator. She got 2 inches height, 2 inches reach on Juarez, 12 years younger than her. It's pretty wild, especially for the lightest weight class in the UFC. That actually makes a difference, which I tried to tell Yanni, but I don't think he listened. 1.5 times more active landing strikes. Grappling stats in her favor, plus 125. Juarez, La Malvada. Do you remember what that means? Malvada?
Mal means bad. Is it the yeah. bad something?
The wicked.
The wicked. Yeah, yep. See, I was almost there.
Yep. 10-4. 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked at once, submitted twice. Red flag there. 0-2 in the UFC, both losses via submission. 2010 was her debut, minus 154. I'm going dog here. Anyone who watched UFC, I always forget the name of the show. UFC by
on
the numbers?
On the line.
On the line. I always want to call it by the numbers. I think that's a Substack or something. All right, UFC on the line. You'll know that I picked Liang Na. Yanni did not, so obviously you're going to side with me. Like I said, the 8-12 years is a massive gap in age, especially like for 115-pound women, where speed and athleticism matters. The lighter you are in these sports, plus 10 submission wins against someone who's lost all of her UFC fights via submission. That seems like a red flag right there. Liang, she looked very good in that Ariane Carnelosi fight. Carnelosi is a very physically strong woman, and she had her way with her on the ground a few times and was slugging it out with her on the feet. So anyhow, I think this is a good dog pick. You know, I'm very chalky. That's why I'm called Jeff Chalks, but I'll be taking this plus 125, hopefully all the way to the bank.
Yeah, and I can't believe she's still a dog. I saw her posted originally. I think she was 135, plus 135 out the gate. Yep. And I was like, that can't hold up, right? Like, why is there faith in the public in Silvana Gomez-Juarez? But I think some of it is just like there's not faith in very many Chinese fighters because we haven't seen a ton of talent come out of China. But now Liang is super talented. Like, go back and watch that fight with Carnelosi. Carnelosi is a really good fighter, right? Like, Carnelosi's got a few wins in the UFC. She's really powerful. She gets absolutely manhandled in that first round. Na Liang takes her down. She's in good positions the whole time. She's looking for subs the whole time and just absolutely gassed herself out. And you could say, okay, well, maybe that's a problem with her. Then we have to worry about that in the second round of this fight. You have to worry about this in the second round of this fight if it gets to the second round of this fight, right? Yep. Because Silvana Gomez-Juarez has been subbed quickly in 2 fights, right? Like, she has yet to make it out of a first round yet. Lupita Godinez, kind of excusable, right? Lupita Godinez, a great grappler. Vanessa Demopoulos, less excusable, right? Like, she just stuck herself in an armbar in that fight. And if you remember the Lupita Godinez one, the armbar comes from back control. She has back control and she isolates an arm and then swings it around for an armbar. So, like, Gomez-Juarez is not a really good defensive grappler, and Na Liang is somebody who comes out like a bat out of hell, has underrated wrestling. Like, I think her wrestling is probably one of the better parts of her grappling, despite that she searches for subs. Yeah, I'm all over Na Liang here. Expect her to be one of my recommended plays when we get to the end of this, because my god, this line seems crazy as all hell. And I may even have Actually, no, I'm just going to spoil it now. I'll give you the prop I have right now. Na Liang by submission in round one, plus 450. I don't know what everybody's books got, because those ones, that number is hard to find in every single book. And, you know, like, those numbers fluctuate on things that are so precise. But Na Liang by submission in round one, plus 450, sprinkle on it. That's all I'm saying.
You know what recommended plays are, right?
I do know what
can be a recommended play or not, because should you really be recommending plus 450?
I don't know if plus 450 is like a place where I would go to recommend it, but it was something that the Gumby God would throw in the Slack and tell you, hey,
the Gumby God.
Keep an eye.
This is going too far. third person now. Come on now.
Well, it's an almighty third person, so.
Yeah, oh, God, even worse. I was told we were blasphemous. I think the listener was joking, but yes. All right. Hopefully we didn't run off all our. Hey, if you're into, if we offend you in any way, we're just having fun here. He is the Gumby God, regardless whether we offend you or not. We can't change the way the world is. All right. Okay. Here's our main event, Dan, of the early prelims. Ha ha. Bantamweights. Kyung Ho Kang or Kang Kyung Ho. This is one of those events where it depends if you want to anglicize. Anglicize. I was trying to put an extra syllable in there. Anglicize these names, or if you want to say them the way they're supposed to be said. But anyhow, Kyung Ho versus Dana Batgirl, whose nickname should be Batgirl, I've decided. No, his nickname should be Barbara Gordon, because that's who Batgirl is, I think. Are you you into Batman? Do you know if I'm correct here?
I don't know anything about Batman. Sorry.
I think in the original 60s show, I believe Barbara Gordon is Batgirl. So anyhow, but he has another nickname too, Storm. He's going up against Mr. Perfect. Kurt Hennig apparently is back. And Typhoon. So he's got two wrestling nicknames, Kang does. Let's tell you about him first. Plus, Kang is a person, is one of the aliens in The Simpsons too. So how can you not like this guy?
With his brother Konos.
Right. How can you not like this guy? All right. He's 17-9 with one no contest, two knockouts, 11 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. He's 6-3 with one no contest in the UFC. Sneaky, sneaky good record. He's won three of his last four. He did lose his last fight though. He was the Road FC champ before this and back in Korea where he's from. Used to fight at lightweight, used to fight at featherweight. 2007 debut in MMA professionally. He's 2 inches taller, 3 inches of reach on the Batgirl. Striking and grappling stats in his favor, plus 128. Batgirl, 12-3, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He's 3-2 in the UFC. Lost his last fight via TKO. Used to fight also at featherweight and lightweight, just like Kang. Who's the MGL champ? I can't remember what MGL is. I used to quiz you on these things. I'm sure you have no idea what MGL is.
Mongolian
something probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just Mongolian. It's just like the way they short it, because it's Mongolian Fighting Championship, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go. 2011 MMA debut professionally. 2 years younger, twice more active landing strikes, minus 155. Your turn.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dana Batgirl. I really do like Kyung Ho Kang, but like the problem for me in this one is that like he uses his grappling like a little bit to set up his striking. I think he's just going to like need to entirely rely on his grappling to deal with Batgirl Dana, because like Dana is just like so much faster on the feet and hits so much harder. And like we saw that in his last couple of wins, right? Like obviously he's coming off the loss to Gutierrez by that like weird spinning back fist, but like he knocked out Brandon Davis, he knocked out Kevin Natividad, he knocked out Guida Canetti, and like all of them in the first round. Like Kyung Ho Kang needs to rely on the grappling or else he's just gonna suffer the same fate as them. And I don't think he can do that enough. So yeah, I'm just going to say Batgirl Dana has got the hands to get it done.
Yes, I should have said his name properly. Batgirl Dana. I'm going against you though. This is my other underdog I like.
Ooh.
I like Kang, not just because of name and everything. Yeah, the grappling obviously is the key here. As is, resume is much better. So I have a bit more faith in him going into this fight. And I think his striking will be able to hold up. Plus, he has some size to help it hold up. So I think this is a decent underdog for me. He does have the striking advantage, at least on paper. Let's roll the dice on back-to-back underdogs. Give me Kyung Ho Kang, since I've already written the article and I don't want to edit it. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, look at you sticking to your guns despite the fact I'm telling you to get chalkier than you are.
It's true. It's true. Jeff Chalks does not need to be invited to be chalkier. All right. That's it. We're done, right? That was the main event. I said we are done.
That was the main event. That's done. This is the legendary 3-fight card.
It's true. All right. We'll move on after I tell you about Athletic Greens. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. It says all the things still, but it should be what? All those things, I think? That's what I always say. I don't know what all the things mean. Anyhow, that's the editor in me. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports... If I scrolled away, but it supports better sleep quality and recovery. And Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews, even more than we do. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Moving on, a very interesting fight kicks off the main prelims at welterweight. Jake Matthews versus Andre Fialo. Do you remember Matthews was like one of those top prospects, one of those young guns we had to look out for, Dan? Remember those days?
Yes, I do remember that. Also, though, like he's It's funny that we're talking about that being a long time ago, and we're like, yeah, yep. Once upon a time, he was a young gun. He's 27. He's not yep. old yet, even.
It's true, especially for Jackson Wink. He's probably the youngest guy in there still, right? All right, let's tell you about this the Celtic kid. Not the Boston Celtic kid, the Celtic kid. He's 17. That would be Matthews, by the way. Excuse me. He's 17-5, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been submitted 3 times. He's 10-5 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4 and 6 of his last 8. So actually, he's doing all right. Low key good. He lost his last fight via submission. He was 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He used to fight at lightweight, striking and grappling stats in his favor, +110. Andre Fiallo, perhaps you've heard of him. This is his 4th time fighting this year already. He's fought January, April, May, and now again in June. He's a maniac. He's kicking off his UFC career in high gear here. He's 16-4 overall with 1 no contest. He's knocked out 13 people with 1 submission as well. He's been knocked out himself twice. He's 2-1 in the UFC. Both of his last fights, he lost his debut and then won his last 2 via KO. He was in PFL where he went 0-1 with 1 no contest. He was in Bellator where he went 4-1. So a lot of high level experience. He's an inch taller, an inch of reach on Matthews, more active striker, -134. I'll take Fiallo. He's been a monster since he's come in the UFC. And I think he can put it on Matthews. I don't know if Matthews has never been knocked out. So this would be a first if Fiallo finishes him. And I think, as Dan said in a previous podcast, you got to be a bit concerned about the amount of fights he's putting in. But yeah, I'll roll the dice on Fiallo again at -134 regardless.
Yeah, not, here's where I go dog again. Okay. I disagree with you wholeheartedly. I think this number doesn't wind up where it is if Andre Fiallo isn't fighting for the 4th time this year. I think he has all this recency bias built into this fight. When you look back at his record and you look back at who he's beat and how he's beat them, and like Jake Matthews is a fucking terrible matchup for him. Like Michelle Pereira decided like, oh, this guy throws kind of hard, and Michelle Pereira took him down. And not that Michelle Pereira isn't strong and doesn't have takedowns, but like, do we all remember that Jake Matthews is like a beast mode grappler? Like he is so good on the mat and he's got great wrestling. He's starting to grow into his muscles. He has like real strength. And like Fiallo is a dude who just like kind of throws bombs and looks for the knockout. And you just said it yourself. Jake Matthews doesn't get knocked out. Like yep. The last time that Andre Fiallo won a fight where he didn't knock a guy out was at Bellator 207 back in 2018 when he beat Javier Torres. So, like, this isn't a guy who wins by decision. He doesn't win by decision hardly ever. So I'm saying all of those things point to the fact that Jake Matthews is just, like, a terrible matchup for him. And, again, I think the recency bias has really oddly pulled Andre Fiallo into being a fairly sizable favorite, and getting Jake Matthews at dog money seems like a steal to me.
And apparently the hype has gotten to me too, Dan. I'll take him regardless. And everyone remember, Dan loves his underdogs a bit too much, I've been told. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. All right. Who we got next? Lightweights. This man was on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. Steve Garcia. He's oh, crap. I heard Dan say this guy's name, and I can't remember how you say it now. He's fighting Hysar. Is that right?
Hayser
Mahashate, but I think he may go by Mahashate also. I've seen him listed that, so who knows. Jong has a crush on this man, I believe, right? He was talking about him in the Slack.
He seemed pretty high on him in the Slack.
We'll see after I give you the breakdown and we give you our picks. We'll see how high he is on him now. We'll talk about Mahashate first. He's 6-1 with 3 knockouts. Never been finished in a fight. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He used to fight at welterweight. This one is down at lightweight. He's 7 years younger than Garcia. Striking and active striking as well as grappling stats in his favor, but that's based off of 1 fight for him. +130. Garcia is the mean machine. He's 12-4 with 9 knockouts. He's been submitted once. The only time he's been finished. 1-1 in the UFC. Won his last fight via TKO. 1-0 in the Contender Series. Used to fight at Bantamweight. He mostly fought at Bantamweight. He was telling Mr. Gumby Vreeland on the Top Turtle podcast. He also has fought at Featherweight. He was 5-2 in Bellator. Got 4 inches reach despite fighting way down 2 weight classes below normally. -162. I will take Garcia, even though he's got that stank on him. I trust his experience more. I like the 4 inches of reach, especially for a guy who finishes. It's a finishing machine, 9 knockouts in 12 fights. So I'm taking experience and finishing ability over athleticism and potential in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on this one. I'm going to take Steve Garcia. And, you know, you mentioned the reach advantage, which I found kind of shocking because I thought Masha Shea had kind of like a wide frame and like long arms. Yeah. But to know that Steve Garcia has got that advantage going in already, you know, like, I think benefits him. And then on top of that, too, like I went back and watched that fight with Masha Shea when he was on Contender Series, because like I think that's where he got a lot of the hype. And I was like, do I remember not being as impressed as I thought I did? And it was when he was fighting Achilles Estrada, and like he won a unanimous decision. But one of the things I noted about it is that he keeps backing up with his chin up in the air, and he backs straight up.
Bad news.
And especially bad news for a guy who's got a reach advantage on you like Steve Garcia does, and for a guy who hits like Steve Garcia. Garcia hits really freaking hard. You can go back to his Contender Series knockout where he elbowed that guy out. Like, you can go back to, you know, more regional scene work if you want. And he's also fought incredible levels of competition, too. Like, you know, you mentioned that Bellator record. Sometimes we mention that the guy fought in Bellator, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, he got a Bellator fight, like, before he was, like, really ready. He was one of those 2-0 Bellator guys. No, this guy fought Kin Moy, who is, like, a Northeast, like, beast. He fought Ricky Tercios. He fought the most dangerous man on earth, Joe Warren. He fought Alon Cruz. Like, he fought Ronnie Lawrence. He beat Ronnie Lawrence. So, like, this is a guy with a crazy long resume of fighters he's fought outside of the UFC, too. I think the experience just gets to Masha Shea here. He backs up stupid one time and goes to sleep.
There you go. All right, featherweights. Seung-Woo Choi versus Joshua Koulibal. Here's my write-up on it. All right, we'll tell you about Koulibal first. Nickname's Kuya, K-U-Y-A. 9-1-1 with 5 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. He's 1-1-1 in the UFC, so all he needs is a no contest, and he's got a full house. Or he hit for the cycle, whatever you want. He's won his last fight. That was back in May of 2021. He's fight at lightweight. What did I say? This is at featherweight. So he's going down for this one. Boom, boom, boom. Multiple regional championships on his
manto.
Correct. 2 years younger than Choi, plus 195. As for Choi, nickname is Sting, not the singer. I don't think this is the singer. He's a little old if it is. He's 10-4 with 6 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 3-3 in the UFC, lost his last fight via submission. He was the top FC champion before. He used to fight down at bantamweight, so we have a former bantamweight versus a former lightweight here. Despite that, he's 2 inches taller and has an inch of reach on Koulibal. More active striking, minus 240. You know what Chalk's going to take. Chalky Jeff's going to take. Choi, more active striker, a little bit of reach, plus a finisher. So I will take him at minus 240.
Yeah, I'm going to take him as well. The big thing for me in this one is, like, Koulibal is a guy who's not going to try to take him down. And I think that's really the only reason you beat Seung-Woo Choi. You know, like, you look at the guys who are beating him, and it's like Gavin Tucker took him down and controlled him. Movsar Evloev took him down and controlled him. Alex Caceres took him down and finished him. And, like, the people who couldn't take him down, Yusuf Zalal and Julian Arosa and Sumal Markatarian, like, all of those guys just had a miserable time on the feet. I just think Koulibal is going to go in there and try to box with him because Koulibal believes in his boxing, and good for him for doing so. But I just don't think it's as good or as powerful.
We don't believe in your boxing, Koulibal. Take that. All right. We're on the same page for that one. And our second main event, this is one of the main prelims, would be middleweights. Jacob Malkoon versus Brendan Allen. All in Brendan Allen versus Mamba Malkoon. Let's talk about Malkoon first. 6-1 with 2 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 2-1 the UFC. However, he's won 2 straight after dropping his debut. Striking stats in his favor, plus 210. All in. It's a play on his last name. I get it. Brendan Allen. He's 18-5, 5 knockouts, 10 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted once. 6-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4. That means he won 3 of his first 4 as well. Very consistent. Won his last fight via submission. Used to fight up at light heavyweight. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He was the LFA champ. Used to fight at welterweight. So he used to fight at welterweight and at light heavyweight. Now he's fallen right in the middle. He's 5 inches taller than Malkoon, 2 inches of reach, more active striker, minus 260. Over to Gumby.
So I'm, you know, and I think I hinted at this in a past show. I really like Malkoon in this spot. I don't know if I'm just entranced by how large the plus number is, because it's big. You know, like that's a big ass plus number. But I'm gonna take him here because like the thing about Brendan Allen is, that you mentioned is like he doesn't even have better striking stats than Malkin. Malkin is an Abu Dhabi qualifier in grappling. So like you're telling me that a guy's one path to victory is his grappling with Brendan Allen, and he's gonna go in there with a guy who should have been in Abu Dhabi's up against Gordon Ryan. And don't get me wrong, you probably would have gotten sauced by Gordon Ryan, but like he had made it to that level. He had won the Oceania freaking qualifier. So like I have a lot of faith in Jacob Malkin. And if you go back and look at his wins too, like his wrestling holds up insanely well in like it did against Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. It did against AJ Dobson. He got tagged by Phil Hawes like 18 seconds in. I think people wrote him off after that. Who knows? Like, I just think Brendan Allen isn't going to sub him off of his back. And I don't know that Brendan Allen's going to have a good position. So yeah, I'm going to roll the dice here with the dog money. I think I've only gotten two dogs so far. Just riding with Jake Matthews and Na Liang. We'll make it three, with Malkin here. I think Malkin is a big dog here is the play.
Yeah, Matthews as well. So you're living up to
That's what I said, Matthews and.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Yes, yeah, Matthews.
That's one of the ones I said.
Boy, relax, dude. Yeah, it's true. You did say that. So you have Liang, you have Kang, you have Matthews, and now you have Malkun. So that's four buddies.
I did not take Kang. You took Kang.
Oh yeah, I took Kang. That's right. You took Kronos and Kang. All right. Anyhow, I'm taking Allen. Would you say Allen is, I think he's proven to be a better MMA grappler, at least up to this point, than
Malkin?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Like he looked pretty much like a fish out of water trying to grapple Sean Strickland.
Yeah, Sean Strickland's a psychopath, though, or a sociopath, one or the other.
And would you consider Sean Strickland a good grappler?
No.
It's no, true. And if you go back to that fight too, and I'm gonna stall quietly while I pull up the fight metric stats. But if you go back to that fight, because I'm trying to remember exactly how many times he took him down. You go back to the Sean Strickland versus Brendan Allen fight. Sean Strickland is the only one who landed a takedown in that fight. He went 1-1 against Brendan Allen. Brendan Allen did not take him down. So like we're talking about a guy we don't think is a good grappler. And now I'm talking about a guy in Jacob Malkin I do think is a good grappler.
Okay. So you're going with the plus whatever, plus 200, even though only about 10 of those have come through this year out of 200 fights. So, okay, cool.
I had a plus 190 last week. Just saying.
Will this... If Malkun wins, will that put him on your Mount Rushmore or not? Or is that not big enough?
What was the official number you gave me?
Plus 210. Probably not, right?
No, I think it's got to be plus 250 or over in order to fill out the Mount Rushmore.
Well, the night is young, so who knows what Gumby's going to pull out of his hat next. So, all right, that's the main prelim portion. I'm going to tell you about one more of our amazing sponsors, and then we will... get on with the main card. IP Vanished. You know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy. That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanished VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanished helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanished makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use as it just... I need IP Vanish on my phone apparently because I just lost the ad read off my screen. All right, what am I saying? What was I saying, Dan? It's super easy to use, right? Is that what I said?
It is super. Yes. You said it was super easy to use.
It is super easy to use. And all you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. A little peek behind the curtain. I do add reads. That wasn't just all off the top of my head, unfortunately. So sorry.
Travesty.
It is. All right. Welterweights start kickoff the pay-per-view. Jack Della Maddalena who's one of our
He's our guy. He's one of our guys.
Versus Ramazan, Emiev. What did I say? This is at welterweight, correct? Yes. All right, Emiev is Goratz, and he is 25 with 3 knockouts, 7 submissions. Knocked out once, submitted once. 5-2 in the UFC. He's gone 2-2 over his last 4, lost his last fight. Used to fight up at middleweight. He was the M1 champion, which is impressive. 2009 pro MMA debut, 3 inches of reach on Della Maddalena. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 130. Jack Della, 11-2, 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 1-0 in the UFC via TKO. 1-0 in the Contender Series. That is part of the 11-0 run he has had. He lost his first 2 MMA fights, and he's won 11 straight since then. He was regional champ. He's only fought 1 fighter with a losing record. That was in his second fight, and he lost to him. How's that? That's pretty impressive, eh?
That's not bad.
Not bad. Unless he's like doctored his records up like other fighters have done. His last loss was 6 years ago. He's an inch taller than Emiev, 9 years younger, 3 times more active landing strikes based on his couple of fights he's had within the UFC organization, minus 162. If you watch me on TV, you know I'm going all in on Jack Della Maddalena here. I think his grappling can hold up against Emiev. He's obviously a far better striker. Way younger. I'm pretty high in him. It's a pretty big step up for his second fight, but I think he can handle it, and he's going to pass with flying colors. And I love the number we're getting, 162.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. One of the things I like to point out about Ramazan Emiev is like, what is he good at? Like, just if you had to put one thing that he's good at, what would you say?
Grappling.
Grappling. He has a 29% takedown success rate.
Not wrestling,
so like,
apparently.
So, like, not wrestling, right? And, and, you know, like, some people always go, like, oh, strength of schedule or something. He was 0-9 against Anthony Rocco Martin, taking him down when he lost that fight. And you remember how we just watched Benoit St. Denis just, like, absolutely fucking steamroll Nicholas Stolza?
Yes.
Right. Like, yeah, like grappled the hell out of him, right? Do you know Ramazan Emiev went 4 of 12 on takedowns against Nicholas Stolza? On, like, I'm not kidding. Like 4 of 12. He had 33% takedown rate on that guy who Benoit St. Denis took an absolute, I mean, like, he put a beating on him. And fun fact, Stolza took Emiev down 1-1 time. So, like, you know, like, I just don't have a lot of faith in Emiev against anybody who's going to outstrike him and put up a reasonable amount of grappling defense. Jack Della fits all of that. I think he torches him here. The line's too close. The line is too close right here.
Recommended play territory, perhaps. All right, flyweights, we move on to Rogério Bonturin versus Manel Kopp. So we got no nickname versus Starboy. That would be Cap. Is it Cap or Cape? I forgot to get it right. What
I believe we've had this conversation.
We have millions of times.
And I'm fairly certain I change my answer every time. So yes. We'll go with Cap.
Yeah, I think it is, but it shouldn't be. So, all right. I'm telling him it shouldn't be pronounced that way, though. Sir, change your name. All right. Bonturin, 17-4 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 11 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted once. 2-3 in the UFC with 1 no contest. However, he won his first 2 fights. So since then, he's got 0-3 with 1 no contest. He's missed weight and a drug failure. His last fight, I think, was he missed weight and he had a drug failure in it. 1-0 in the Contender Series. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 185. Starboy, 17-6, 11 knockouts, 5 submissions, which is insane for a... Actually, both these guys have insane finishing ability for flyweights. He's been submitted twice. He's 2-2 in the UFC. He lost his first 2, and then he's turned it on in his last 2 fights, won them both via TKO or KO. Used to fight at bantamweight, was the Ryzen champ. 2012 was his MMA pro MMA debut. Inch of reach over Bonturin, a year younger, striking stats in his favor, and he's 1.8 times more active, so almost twice more active landing strikes, minus 230. Your turn.
I'm going Cap. I think, look, Bonturin has a chance to take him down, but, like, Cap is just so powerful for me. You know, like, he does a really good job of keeping distance. He's really technically sound in that way, too. And then even when people do get in, he just, like, shucks him off pretty violently. So add that to the fact that he's, like, fighting with intention now, right? Like, he has stopped being, like, the guy who is patient and thinks he's winning, and instead he's like, I'm just going to go flatline this dude. And that's exactly what he did. And if you look at those back-to-back wins, too, they've actually aged incredibly well too, right? Because like when he first knocked out Ode Osborne, I was like, yeah, well, he knocked out Ode Osborne, and like look at how good Ode has looked since then. And Shaman Shumagulov looked good in his last fight too. Granted, he didn't come out the winner, but like he looked good in that last fight as well. So while he loses a split to Jeff Molina, now that fight looks great with Manel Kapp. So yeah, like I think the fact that he's fighting with intention, he's going out there trying to flatline guys. I think Bonturin has got to get it to the ground, and I don't know that he does. So yeah, I like Manel Kapp in this spot.
Yes, ditto. Kapp is the pick. Bonturin is a mediocre UFC fighter. To put it bluntly, maybe even a little worse over, especially over his last four, he's not won a fight. Kapp should be able to keep it standing and should piece him up on the feet. So he is the pick. Starboy is living up to his nickname and his considerable hype now. All right, here's the rematch of all rematches we've all been waiting for. Women's strawweight Zhang Weili versus Joanne Yon J. Chuck. Two former champions going at it again. We'll tell you about the former Joanna champion. She's 16-4, four knockouts, one submission, but knocked out once. It's the only time she's been finished in her career. 10-4 in the UFC. She made five defenses of her title when she was champ. For her last four fights, she's gone win, loss, win, loss. Her last fight was March of 2020 when she got turned into an alien by Zhang. She's gone 2-4 over her last six fights. Used to fight up a weight class at flyweight. Is a Muay Thai champion and a kickboxing champion. 2 inches height, 2 inches reach over Zhang. Striking and active striking stats in her favor, plus 145. Zhang's nickname is Magnum, 21-3, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. She's been knocked out once, 5-2 in the UFC, won 5 straight and became the champ and beat Joanna to defend her title. Actually, she beat 1-4 straight, became champion, then defended her title. And then she lost the past two fights against Rose and Nama Yunus. Like I said, she did beat Yun Jae Chuck back in 2020. She was the Kun Lun champion back in China. Used to fight at flyweight as well. She was 2-0 as a pro kickboxer. 2 years younger than Yun Jae Chuck, minus 175. I will take Zhang. I tend to always take the winner of a rematch. Winner of the first fight, I tend to always take them in a rematch because that tends to be your result. Plus, Yun Jae Chuck's been out of the cage for so long. I don't like that as well. And plus she did not, well, I guess she looked okay. No, she physically, she didn't look good because she got turned into an alien against Zhang, but who knows what that type of beating did to her as well. So anyhow, I'm going with Zhang in here. Hopefully it's, I don't think it'll be able to live up to its, the first go around, but who knows, but she is my pick.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. Like, first of all, Zhang won the first fight, you know, debate about scoring aside. I think she clearly won the first fight. And I think a 3-round fight favors her more than a 5-round fight, too, when you consider the fact that she hits harder, she's got more chance to finish you, and she comes out stronger. You know, Joanna Yon Jacek is somebody who feels somebody out and tries to feel the range. And I think ultimately that's going to cost her at least one of the first two rounds. And so, like, she's really fighting an uphill battle in the end of the day. And I think Weili Zhang is like, she's going to have the more impactful strikes too. She's going to have the strikes you remember. She's going to be the one snapping somebody's head back, whereas Joanna Yon Jacek might, you know, pile up some volume. I think Weili Zhang is going to do the most damage here.
Very good point about the length of the fight. Yon Jacek does not have a lot of experience, at least not recent experience, with the 3-round stuff. And yeah, her approach is definitely more fit for championship fights or 5-round fights. So Zhang is both our picks. Hopefully it's another good one. All right, on to the championship fight time. Women's flyweight, Valentina Shevchenko versus Talia Santos for the women's flyweight championship. Tell you about the challenger, Santos. Very impressive resume. She's 19-1, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. She's 4-1 in the UFC, lost her debut, then won 4 straight fights, the last one via submission. She was 1-0 in the contender series, used to fight at bantamweight. She was the Aspera champ. She's got 1 inch height and 2 inches reach on Shevchenko. She's 5 years younger, more active striker, better grappling stats. Despite all that, plus 380 is what you're going to get on her. Bullet Shevchenko, the champ, 22-3, 8 knockouts, 7 submissions, but knocked out once. 11-2 in the UFC. She's only lost up a weight class to Amanda Nunes twice. She's defended her title 6 times already. This will be defense number 7 coming up. She's won 8 straight, 2 straight via TKO. She used to fight at bantamweight, or she has fought at bantamweight. Pro debut in MMA 2003. She was 2-0 as a boxer, was a kickboxing champ, a judo champ, a Muay Thai champ, a amateur boxing champ, a Taekwondo champ. Striking stats in her favor, -589. Your turn, I think, or is it my turn?
I mean, it doesn't matter, right?
Like, no, we're both going to pick Shevchenko, so yeah, you tell them why.
And I'm going to – look, I'll say this, though, is like – we are both going to take Shevchenko at the end of the day. Like, we both like Valentina Shevchenko in this spot. But I will say, you know, you quoted the price at 380 for Talia Santos, and I've seen it as high as getting close to +500. I've seen it as low as in the low 300s. If he does inch towards 500 or 600, I think, like, just throwing something on her isn't the worst idea, because she does have advantages that I don't think a lot of people – remember that she has in a fight with Valentina Shevchenko, right? Like, a lot of people are like, oh, Shevchenko, deadly striker, is going to out-grapple people in addition to being a deadly striker. Talia Santos took down Roxanne Modafari 5 times, which, don't get me wrong, Roxanne, not a world beater at this point in time in her career, but also not easy to take down, right? Like, we can at least give her that. Like, she's not an easy fighter to take down. She also took Molly McCann down 5 times, which is pretty damn impressive. So, like, she's a prolific takedown artist in addition to being a sharp striker with a lot of power. She's got 3 knockdowns in her last 2 fights. Like, I think if this number edged up closer to +500, I'd think, like, a, you know, like, sprinkling in on it is worth it. But, like, yeah, if you're picking a winner here, Valentina Shevchenko is the right person. But, yeah, like, her best challenger in a long time.
Yep, she's a very formidable challenger, but yeah, Shevchenko's the pick. She just doesn't have any holes at this point. And I don't really see any mental holes either. Like, she always seems to be there to fight. Like, I don't see her taking her foot off the gas. Maybe she won't be going for the kill every fight, but she seems to be sharp every time she steps in there. You haven't seen any Amanda Nunes versus that new champion that I always forget that's a champion.
Juliana
Pena. We haven't seen any, you know, any hint that could happen with her. So
we didn't with Nunes either.
No, that's true. So, hey, maybe this could be it.
That should just appear.
Yep, this could be it. But no, Santos is very good. But yeah, Shevchenko is just better. So she is our pick. Main event time, light heavyweight championship. Glover Teixeira is the champion, another surprise champion, versus Yuri Prochazka. I'll tell you about the challenger first. Prochazka's nickname is BJP. Why is his nickname BJP? Do you know that?
I don't have the slightest clue.
Brother Yuri Prochazka, I'll say. That's what.
Sure,
I don't know if it does, but we'll say it is. For sure, he will have the best hair on the night, guaranteed. He's 28-3, 25 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's finished everyone except one person that he's beat. 2 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. So he's only gone in the distance once in 31 fights. He's 2-0 in the UFC. Both of his wins via knockout. However, he's not fought since last May. So he's been out of the cage for a year. He's won 12 straight fights. He was the Ryzen champion before this. He used to fight at heavyweight. He also was regional champion. He's been fighting professional MMA since 2012. He was a Muay Thai champion as well. Inch of height on Teixeira, 4 inches of reach, 13 years younger. It lands almost twice as many strikes as Teixeira does, -200. Teixeira, 33-7, 18 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, 16-5 in the UFC. He's won 6 straight fights, 3 straight via finish. He is the champion. This will be his first title defense. He was 3-1 in WEC. WEC Never Die. Was the grappling champion. He's a very high level grappler. Made his MMA debut in 2002. Striking differential -0.11, so he gets outstruck, which is very something you got to keep in mind when he's fighting a guy like Yuri. Grappling stats, however, are very obviously in his favor, +165. I will be taking the challenger here, and I that their TV show, I'm taking him via finish, because if he's going to win, that's how he's going to win. Obviously, there is the chance that Glover can get him down and submit him, but I think he's going to get lit up on the feet before that happens. So we're going to have a new champ come Saturday night.
Yeah, I just agree with you entirely. Like, there's a chance he gets him down. But even if he gets him down, I think Yuri does pretty well on the mat for himself. And, like, he's got to get in close. And getting in close, as Dominic Reyes found out, is, like, not easy to do on Yuri Prochazka. You just wind up eating an elbow from an angle you never thought you'd ever eat an elbow from. So, yeah, like, I got Yuri Prochazka all the way here. And it's you know, Glover's been surprising us for fight after fight after fight, but at a certain point, that being 43 and not having much stand up catches up to you.
There you go. That is our pick. We are agreeing on the two championship fights. All right, you ready for some recommended plays, Mr. Vreeland?
Yeah, I think we're pretty similar on a lot today, though.
You think so? Probably, yes. All right, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm going to take $40 and I'm going to throw it on Na Liang. Told you, I can't believe this is a dog play this week. $40 on Na Liang is a crazy steal.
And what are we getting her at? Plus 125 was the official line I gave you. So Na Liang plus 125. All right. I'm going to take Yuri via knockout or TKO. What's the number on that? Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I had him Yuri by knockout comes in at -135.
That's crazy. It's still negative, but okay, I'll put $30 on that, please.
Yeah, I'm going to take I'll take that as well. I'm going to take $30 on that too.
All right, $30. He is copying me exactly. $30 on Yuri via finish. All right. Not via finish. Yeah, imagine if he submits him, wouldn't that be a pain in the ass, Dan?
If he I'll look up that while you're moving on in your second play. I'll look up what Yuri by sub is.
Jack Della is my second pick. Jack Della Maddalena money line. Putting 50 on him to win because I love the number -162 on that. So I will be taking $50 on that. Did I not waste enough time, Dan? Are you ready?
No,
or not?
You're good. Do you want to guess what the line is on him by finish or by submission?
Plus 500.
Plus 2700.
Wow, get on it, everyone. He could rock him and rear naked choke him, right?
He's not going to.
All right, fine.
And I'm gonna take I love Jack Della too. I'm gonna take 15 of my last $30. I'll put it on Jack Della.
All right, and my last pick is Na Liang. She is getting $20. Being a coward and putting 20 on her, but on the money line +125.
And I'm gonna take my last 15. I'll put it on Jake Matthews. I love him here as an underdog.
All right, so Dan's losing one pick at least. All right, what am I giving you on that? +110 or something, did I say? Let me see.
It's a little bit higher than that, yeah. I think.
No, 110. No, nice try. It's 110.
Oh.
Still want it?
I think you have not updated the lines, but that's okay. Yeah, I'll still take him at +110.
Fine. You get the same lines as I get. All right, let's recap. Gumby, he's got $40 on Na Liang money line, $30 on Yuri via finish, $15 on Jack Della Maddalena money line, $15 on Jake Matthews money line. I have 30 on Yuri finish via knockout finish for both of us, 50 on Jack Della money line, 20 on Na Liang money line. Are you going to give us a winning Hungry Man Jong pick this week, or is it going to be another one that we get one fight off?
Man, I was so pumped about the Aaron Blanchfield finish, and then I thought Volkov's going to come through for us. He didn't. Yeah, I got a two-part for you here. Obviously, with all we've talked up about Na Liang, I'm going to take her by submission here. I'm seeing +210 for her by submission. That's without talking about rounds. Obviously, I mentioned before, if you want to get her in the first round by submission, which I think is a real play, some places are offering +400, so keep an eye on that. And I'm going to pair it with Steve Mean Machine Garcia by knockout. I talked about how Jair Masashe walks backwards with his chin up in the air. I think that's deadly. I'm seeing Garcia as high as +250. So you pair those together, you're getting about 10-1 odds right there. So Na Liang submission, Mean Machine knockout.
All right. Mean Machine Garcia knockout. All right, dude, we did it. We did it. We gave everyone all their picks. We gave them all their recommended plays. Everyone is set. So that puts us at this episode, but hey, just wait. A bonus episode is coming in your ears. Maybe like immediately you can click off this one and put on a new one. We are going to give you picks for the Friday, I guess it's Thursday night / Friday morning, depending on where you are in the world and how you think of those things, but they're having a road to UFC tournament. And we're going to give you picks for the Friday fights. We figure this podcast won't get in your ears in time for the Wednesday night / Thursday morning one. So we're going to hit you up with the 10 fights that are going down on the Friday night slate, because somehow Gumby knows all these people, you know, everyone on it basically.
There were three I had to look up.
Oh, out of 20, it's not bad.
Not too bad.
All right. So I usually, we usually say we'll talk to you on Sunday, but we're not going to say that this time. We are going to bid you farewell, and hopefully you will listen to the special bonus. It's not just bonus episodes. It's episode 150. Bah, 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 bah. All right. Dan, take us home.
I'm David Gibby Freeland. He's the Dragon Girl, Jeff Fox. And we will see you, I don't know, in about 15 minutes.
Yep. Dragon Girl Roar.